You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
September 11, the date we should never forget. And that's what we're doing for the both hours of our program tonight, and dealing with the 9/11 attacks. Four planes taken over by skyjackers, terrorists, an American Airlines Flight 11, Boeing 767, 92 on board, from Boston's Logan International Airport en route to Los Angeles. United Airlines Flight 175, Boeing 767, 65 on board, taking off from Boston, also headed to Los Angeles. American Airlines Flight 77, departing Dulles International outside D.C., headed to Los Angeles, 64 on board. United Airlines Flight 93, a Boeing 757, 44 on board, taking off from Newark International, bound for San Francisco. The FBI later confirmed the 19 hijackers had their identities. They were from Saudi Arabia, 15 of them, the United Arab Emirates, two of the hijackers, one from Lebanon, one from Egypt. A bipartisan commission later revealed that 9 of the 19 hijackers had been flagged and by the FAA computer passenger screening system before they got on the flights. The system alerts security screeners to more thoroughly check a passenger that buys a one-way ticket or pays with cash. They were so-called selectees, and their luggage would also be screened for explosives. According to that report, 3 of the 5 hijackers aboard Flight 11 were designated selectees by the computer system. One hijacker checked no luggage. Bags of the other two were screened for explosives, all okay. All 5 boarded American Flight 77, which later went into the Pentagon. Their luggage was held before they were confirmed on the aircraft. Then the flight took off. One of the hijackers on United Flight 93, which went down in Pennsylvania, was flagged. His bag screened for explosives before being loaded on the plane. No terrorist aboard Flight 175, United Flight 175, that went into the South Tower of the World Trade Center were flagged. And there were reports in the beginning that box cutters were their weapons, but also information came out they were using mace, things of that nature. Had been a report of a gun that got on board, but apparently that was never confirmed. But their intent was confirmed at 8:46. American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center at a speed of 470 miles per hour. At 9:03, United Airlines Flight 175 hit the South Tower at 590 miles per hour. Later in this hour, we're going to take calls at a specific time. Do you think these kinds of images of the planes crashing into the building, the buildings coming down, do you think we should cease showing them? Should they be sanitized more and not show what actually happened that day? I have my opinion. I'll be interested in yours. That'll be later in this hour. And, of course, that night, the president eventually got back to the White House and spoke to the nation.
The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He's not Washington, just go for 06.
Go for 06, guys.
Yes, sir, that aircraft is down. 12 o'clock this
for 86, thank you. Descend and maintain 2000.
Okay, we're down to 2000. And this is go for 06. It looks like that aircraft crashed into the Pentagon, sir.
Go for 86. Go for 06, thank you.
That plane crashing into the Pentagon. And again, you hear the professionalism of the pilot and the operator at the other end. No panic, accepting that their duty. But that was Flight 77 at 9:37, crashing into the western facade of the Pentagon in D.C., killing all 59 aboard, 125 military and civilian personnel inside the building.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
You are listening to a rebroadcast of Larry Connors USA.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Ways to watch the program. Also add some of your comments. Text message coming in. I heard on the radio the building had fallen. I was wondering if there was some confusion about what had happened. I was on a flower delivery to a new mother, stopped in the waiting room with the TV, and saw it fall. Only then did I believe what I'd heard on the radio. I didn't know what to think. Few of us did. Another one pointed out, I watched this of history, I guess a special report on this a couple of days ago, and say, yes, show this video. God bless the first response teams. Well, we're going to get to that detail a bit later about how much should be shown and when. And keep in mind, when you see those planes strike those buildings, lives are being lost at that very moment. If you could take video of that second plane, since that was one of the ones that was captured, but the first one was also captured from a ground level as a film crew who just happened to be covering that fire department based in Manhattan. If you took that video of either one of them and you froze the video with the nose of the plane at the edge of the glass, at that moment everyone was still alive. Unless the hijackers had killed them on board the plane. And in a flash, they were dead. The calls coming from inside, from those asking, begging for help, chilling.
Are they going to be able to get somebody up here?
Well, of course, ma'am. We're coming up to you.
Well, there's no one here yet, and the floor is completely engulfed. We're on the floor, and we can't breathe.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, very hot.
Are the lights still on?
The lights are on, but it's very hot.
Ma'am.
Very hot. We're all the way on the other side of Liberty, and it's very, very hot.
Anybody else have a child in here? These young men, we're not ready to die.
I'm here.
I need oxygen.
The woman saying it's very hot. And of course, then some of them realizing I'm not going to die in this building in this fire. First responders were on the scene when they saw this.
As we're making our way to the North Tower, bodies are falling from the sky right in front of us and landing inches from us. one, there was a couple in particular. One was a male and female who jumped together. And when they landed, it was just from the bus stop that was left with the arms still around each other. No color whatsoever. All color was taken out of them. Most of the jumpers, you didn't hear anything from. It was silence and then that loud thud. And then one woman, she was screaming as she was coming down. And then silence. And that's the only one that really struck me. I said, these terrorists are killing so many so quick. They have no compassion or whatever for humanity. And how could they kill so many people and people don't even know?
And there were those inside that were trying to decide, can I use the elevator? Can we go down the stairwell? Some of the elevators were working, but some were stopping. And in some cases, they actually broke free. But for the most part, they simply became death traps.
The only thing I knew is when I hit the button to the elevator, and as I started to turn around to, you know, kind of face back to the door, there was a massive explosion. It blew me to the back of the elevator. I smashed off the back of the elevator. I was kind of knocked unconscious for a bit. The elevator had burst open into flames. The side actually split. I could see right into the elevator shaft, and there were flames all through the elevator shaft that I could see. The floor buckled and blew up, and the black smoke was coming into the elevator and filling the elevator from the top down very quickly. You could see like the black cloud just coming down like this. And I'm thinking, as the flames are coming in, that I don't want to burn to death. That's when I realized why the people in the first building were jumping, was if you're faced with burning to death, you'll find any other alternative than die from burning to death.
The South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed 56 minutes after it was hit by Flight 175. It took 9 seconds from the top of that tower to reach the ground as it began to come down. Then the North Tower, that had been burning 102 minutes, the first one hit. It came down in 11 seconds. The only good thing here is after the South Tower had gone down, commanders of the fire department told firefighters, get out of the North Tower.
All of a sudden, we hear what I can only describe to you as a freight train coming at us out of the sky.
That North Tower started coming down right on top of us. I didn't look up. I didn't have time to look up because in my mind, I had already picked out the window I was going for.
All of a sudden, I felt the incredible rush of air at my back from the pancake collapse. I screamed to the men in front of me to move. We all started to run.
I took 2 steps towards that window that I had picked out, and I got blown about 40 feet in the air. I remember smacking into the wall.
I was taking a staircase at a time, jumping from landing to landing. I was in this wind tunnel tornado, being pushed down and pushed up at the same time.
Urgent, urgent! The other tower has just collapsed! Ready to collapse! Ready to collapse!
Instantly, I hit the wall and I thought I lost my eye. I remember reaching up to feel if I had an eye, and I felt the eyeball there. And it got louder and deafening, and I made it up into that window, and I crawled in the room, and I realized I had lost my helmet. I put my head underneath the desk, and I just started getting buried.
The fireman turned to us and said, hit the ground. And the four of us got on the ground. This time, unlike the last time, I actually began to pray.
The wind ripped my helmet off, and I landed on the first floor in debris.
That's when I say goodbye to my wife, and I say goodbye to my 2 boys. And when I say goodbye to my littlest guy, I said, you'll never know your dad. And that really hurt. And I just started getting buried. And that's when I said that's it.
Both trade towers, where thousands of people work, have now been attacked and destroyed. One has has to assume that thousands of lives have been extinguished.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hey, can you look out your window right now?
Yeah.
Can you see God about 4,000 feet above 5 East Airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, I see him.
Do you see God? Look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation. What kind of airplane is that? Can you guys tell?
I don't know. I'll read it out in a minute. Another one just hit the building.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Another one
just hit it hard.
Another one just hit the World Trade.
The whole building just came apart.
Oh my God. Holy smokes.
Air traffic controllers watching the second plane hit the South Tower. Now, many in the South Tower had seen, of course, what happened in the North Tower, and they were evacuating as a precaution. But there was some delay because there's about 17 minutes between the impacts of the two, and it wasn't clear this was a terrorist attack or just a freak accident of some type. In fact, the Port Authority and the South Tower spread the word across the building's intercom system, and security workers did the same thing, advising all workers, South Tower, stay in your office. A package delivery guy told reporters he heard the first crash, and as he evacuated, he heard someone say, "The building is secure. The safest place is inside. Stay calm. Do not leave." Others who ignored the message were met with officials at the lobby, told them, "Go back to your floors." In a recorded radio conversation 2 minutes after the first plane hit, the director of the South Tower stated, "I'm not going to do anything until we get orders from the fire department or somebody." They were trying to avoid overcrowding on the plaza and the concourse levels, fearing that would affect evacuation and rescue operations for those in the North Tower. And then the South Tower was hit. And then the collapse.
I looked up and was about to bring my camera up to my eye when something in the back of my head said, "You know, don't push the shutter, don't take this picture, run for your life."
We just felt this wind coming down from above us.
Son of a
huge noise of thumping. Faster and faster, sort of like a freight train coming.
We were like cockroaches. We just scattered because nobody knew which way this fireball was going to go.
The last thing I remember was I tried to yell to Antoinette to run for a doorway. I never got it out before I was just smashed to the ground.
The fireball hit the facade of Financial One. It sheared a piece of the Financial One off, and the little area that we were in was totally entombed.
And I'm thinking the building's falling, but you know, I didn't turn around to look. I just ran as fast as I could run. And as I was running, all of a sudden, the debris cloud just engulfed me.
I got tossed. I got tossed like a leaf in the wind. Wound up about half a block away, partially underneath a fire chief's truck. I don't know when my leg was broken. I don't know if it was on the fall, if it was on the flying, if I had hit something, if debris hit it. Absolutely no idea.
It felt as if the building was being shellacked with artillery fire. I knew that this was the end. I knew that I only had a few more moments to live. I thought about how foolish I had been not to get out immediately. And I remember thinking, if I got to go, I just hope a piece of concrete hits me in the head and kills me rather than having to drop the 19 floors to my death.
You could hear things smashing all around you. You could hear the cacophony of sound just breaking things and smashing them. I remember thinking the irony of I survived the explosion, I survived the hit of the plane. I survived the burning elevator. I was able to get out of the building, dig a tunnel to get out, and now I'm going to get killed by the debris.
Whatever came from the explosion just buried us and sealed us against the building. There was maybe a 12 by 12 space that 30 of us were crammed into. Everybody was just screaming to break the window, break the window, break the window. A lot of people that were in the front were trying to break the window with oxygen tanks or whatever they had in their hand. And at that point, we realized that we weren't getting out. And the air was becoming very thin. And it got really silent. It got to a point of a deafening silence that I could actually hear my own heartbeat. And I just closed my eyes at that point. And I said, "Dear God, please let anybody who's out there be safe. Watch over my family. Watch over my friends."
Several of these sound bites and clips come from a History Channel report. And that woman saying a prayer, "God, watch over my family and friends."
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA. You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
The plane's hitting the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and then we have hijacked Flight 93. Passengers and crew members aboard that flight are now realizing there have been attacks in New York and Washington, and their plane could be next, maybe headed for D.C., maybe the Capitol, maybe the White House. And at one point, the lead hijacker on that flight gets on the radio talking to the FAA and others.
"Hi, the captain. I would like to order the main ticket. We are on the board, and we are going to back to the airport and our demand. So please remain quiet."
"Okay, it's United 93 calling. United 93, understand you have a bomb on board. Go ahead."
"And center, exit 956, that was the transmission."
"Executive 956, did you understand that transmission?"
"Affirmative, he said there was a bomb on board."
"And that was all you got out of it also?"
"Affirmative."
"Roger. United 93, go ahead."
"Okay, there is now on that United 93.
Yes.
There is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you, 15 miles south of Johnstown."
"From the airplane or from the ground?"
"They're speculating it's from the aircraft."
"Okay, then.
Who hit the ground. That's okay. That's what they're speculating. That's speculation only."
"Okay."
The plane had gone into Somerset County, Pennsylvania. All 40 passengers and crew members aboard, of course, including the hijackers. There were reports that some of those on board were trying to retake the plane. It's not clear the hijackers put the plane into the ground themselves or in the process it went in. What was the final target for that plane? We might never know. And again, many of them had been trying to use their cell phones and other ways to reach family and friends to say their last words. The question again, and our phone lines will be open in the next segment. Should these horrific scenes of planes crashing into the World Trade Center, going into the Pentagon, into the field in Pennsylvania, should they continue to be shown, or should they be sanitized and we should just kind of talk about it but not really relive it? Phone lines will be open when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
You are listening to a rebroadcast of Larry Connors USA.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
Welcome back as we continue to focus on this date, the 9/11 attacks of 2001. In a moment, you're going to hear the authorization being given to our fighter jets. If a jetliner is not responding to your instructions, well, you'll hear the authorization in a moment. We were talking earlier, of course, about those who were in the South Tower and had seen the North Tower event happen, and they were staying there, sometimes because they were ordered to stay in the South Tower, no one knowing and expecting the South Tower was going to be hit, and then it was, and then it became too difficult for those to get out. But again, the pictures, the images, should they be shown on anniversaries or any other time? Reference getting out, by the way, someone had noted that, Larry, a lot of folks were looking at the towers burning, not sure what to do, get away from the area. Yep, that's what they should have done if they were on the ground, but they were watching and stayed closer, and some of them might have been trapped in the debris coming down. We might never know for sure. Another one saying, I think I would have stayed and watched, not knowing what was about to happen. But now to the issue of should we continue to show the video. One tech saying, I believe all TV and radio should pull out all the recordings, play them in real time all day and night every year. We must remember and educate those who are not here yet. That's from Joe. Others are saying, Andrew in Chicago pointing out, will history be told as it happened or sanitized? He said, at this rate in 20 years, 9/11 will be taught to school children with no reference to the terrorist attack. Another one, show it. The World Trade Center had many from many nations. And Bob saying it's a great show. I appreciate that. Speaking of many nations, let me share something here with you, and I'll tell you my personal view on showing this video over and over again, or at least on anniversaries. There were 2,605 U.S. citizens who died that day. That included 2,135 civilians. There were 372 non-U.S. citizens. I'm not talking about the 19 hijackers. The 372 non-U.S. citizens. More than 90 countries lost citizens in these attacks. 67 from the United Kingdom, Dominican Republic 47, 41 of them were from India. But it happened on American soil. Should we continue to show the devastation? Well, before I give you my view, and of course the phone lines are open for you to add your remarks and text lines as well, or live streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook, or that day, instructions were coming down. Eventually, they were realizing, as they tried to get planes out of the air, the guard had been scrambled. We had at that point, for the first time in history, FAA grounding flights all over and bound for the U.S. As we pointed out earlier, 3,300 commercial flights, 1,200 private planes, guided to airports in Canada or different spots in the U.S. so they could all be accounted for. We already had our Air Force ready. Since 8:40 that morning, the FAA had alerted the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, about the suspected hijacking of Flight 11. That's before it ever hit the tower. And at that time, two fighter planes located at Cape Cod's Otis Air National Guard base were ordered to locate and tail Flight 11. They were not yet in the air when Flight 11 hit the North Tower. But now, after both towers hit, the Pentagon, the plane down in Pennsylvania, pilots in the air needed to have full, direct, and specific rules of engagement.
The region commander has declared that we can shoot down aircraft that did not respond to our direction. Copy that?
Copy that, sir.
So if you're trying to divert somebody and he won't divert?
PO's saying no.
No? Came over the chat. Fox, you got a conflict on that? You got a conflict on that direction?
Right now, no. But
okay. Okay. You read that from the vice president, right? Vice President has cleared.
Vice President has cleared us to intercept track.
You know what they want?
We're going to shoot them down if they do not respond first on RCC.
Any track of interest that's heading towards the major city, you will ID. If you cannot divert them away from the major city, you are to confirm with me first, and most likely you will get clearance to shoot.
And tell me, I have to tell them that in a clear?
You can tell him exactly in those words.
Okay.
Exactly in those words. You contact me, more than likely you'll be cleared to shoot if they're not responding. And of course, that would mean the fighter jet would come up alongside the jetliner, trying to establish if they couldn't get radio contact, a visual contact with the pilot or whoever was in control of the plane, trying to give them hand signals, also waving wings, trying to fly in front of them, give them a clear indication, follow me to the field. And if they refuse to do so, then the order would come. Now, can you imagine, in the midst of all of this, can you imagine that if we had a jetliner in the sky, still another one that had been hijacked, and our fighter jets intercepted, and we know Americans are on board that plane, and they are innocent, but that plane has been commandeered by a hijacker, and who knows the target for this plane. And the odds of them surviving what happens next with a hijacker, zero of survival. And imagine being the fighter pilot instructed to take down that jetliner. When we come to the issue of reliving this with all the video, and I've watched several of the network reports today on the memorial service, it's pretty sanitized, showing the memorial in New York, names being read, moments of silence, bells tolling. And I remember at the TV station where I was, 1 year after, on the first anniversary, we showed quite a bit of the footage again, as did most everyone. The next year, very little. At the five-year anniversary, we did it again. But I will tell you this, on the first year, the fifth year, and even the other years, it was difficult as a battle between management and those of us who thought this needs to be told. We need to see it again. And you know the response I would get? It's too painful. Yes, it's too painful. It was painful that day. It's painful again to watch it. When those planes go into those buildings, lives are evaporated. You, in a split second, fraction of that, are watching lives end. The plane into the building, the ball of fire that followed. It is heartbreaking. It is It is sad in so many ways. But some believe the best thing is just turn away. Turn away, don't relive it so often. Don't relive it at all, basically. I don't think that's what we should be doing. In fact, if I had my way, it would be shown every anniversary date. And then you could decide to watch it or not watch it. But we have too many who kind of want to make the decision for you. Of course, there's a lot of it now on the internet and other sources, documentaries. Some great pieces have been put together. And yeah, you can decide to go find it yourselves. But my concern is the more we sanitize it, the more we remove it from mainstream viewing. I just wonder, if you have found a elementary student and simply asked, do you know what 9/11 was or is? I don't know if they could give it to you. I don't know. I don't know if you ask a junior high student. If you ask a high school student, I'm not sure if you ask some college students, do you know what 9/11 was? I'm not sure they could tell you. They might have a vague idea. We had many step forward to serve their country after that. And we've had additional lives lost, obviously. But at that moment, and even now, many thought they needed to do something. Gregory, you're on Larry Connors USA. Go ahead.
What a show this evening. The nice chronology of what happened. I don't mean nice in the literal sense, but a great reminder of events that actually happened, and which is the opposite of sanitation. And on that day, on September 11th, the Islamic extremists succeeded. They met their goal, which was a massive massacre of U.S. citizens.
And they terrorized the nation still to this day.
Exactly. They wanted credit for it to happen. And I find it ironic that a lot of people want to gloss over that, even though they themselves wanted it. And those of us who live in the real world recognize that that's what happened. Even a child would want to know why this happened. Even a child would want to know.
I agree.
Why did they do it? In my experience, anyone who has made the sacrifice of serving in the Middle East, especially after 9/11, they tend to want us to face reality. And you know, they say things like we had to take the fight over here, over there, and be over here. And sanitizing this is like taking a cancer patient and giving them Kleenex rather than talking about their tumor.
Excellent analogy, Gregory. Thank you very much for listening, adding your thoughts. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. The audio we had earlier about the instruction to fire, a texter saying, I never heard that audio before. Would not want to be that pilot. Thank God they didn't have to take a shot. And in reference to keeping this story alive and reminding the younger generation and those of us who lived through it then but kind of want to walk away from it, the texter says, just like Pearl Harbor, we shall never forget. Final notes in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
You are listening to a rebroadcast of Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When you look back again, and particularly the video of the Twin Towers being hit by the planes and then collapsing, as I pointed out to you earlier, the North Tower was the first one hit, and it burned for 102 minutes. The South Tower was hit second. It burned for 56 minutes before collapsing, going down in 9 seconds. The North Tower, after the 102 minutes, collapsed 11 seconds. And those still inside had no chance. President Bush that evening again, back at the White House, saying we will hunt these folks down, and again saying that this nation, our buildings have been shaken, but the foundation of our nation is strong, stronger than ever. And to the extent that this has been an awakening, just as Pearl Harbor was, the words of President Bush.
Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you. Good night, and God bless America.
And again, on that date, and for a few days, the nation was galvanized. Patriotism was not just good, it was praised. The president had said the attacks were evil, despicable acts of terror, and they were. And declaring that America and our friends and allies, quote, would stand together to win the war against terrorism. All the politics aside that followed, all the arguments about what we did or did not do, who we should have gone after, who we did not go after, on that day, at that moment, did it mean anything? Did it answer any questions of those that day as to why a spouse, a friend did not come home after going to work, a loved one who got on a plane, never to be seen again, children being told that father, mother, not coming back again, not knowing or understanding. But who did understand at that point? Adults were shocked, confused. We didn't understand on the fact that war had been declared. And at that moment, those of us of this age had some understanding of Pearl Harbor. A date that would live in infamy, repeated again on 9/11. 2,606 who were in the World Trade Center and on the ground perished in the attacks on and the collapse of the towers. That included 2,192 civilians, including 8 EMTs and paramedics from private hospital units, 343 members of the New York City Fire Department, 72 law enforcement officers, including 23 members of the New York City Police Department, 37 members of the Port Authority Police Department, and others, given the duty, sworn duty, to step in and help and save. And in fact, one of them had been the head of security at the World Trade Center as a former assistant director of the FBI who had led and assisted in the capture of the 1993 World Trade Center bomber. And he was head of security at the World Trade Center on this date and died trying to rescue those in the North Tower. Officially, 24 still missing. Just like Pearl Harbor, this date should never be forgotten.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September?
Hug and love those closest to you.
With your wife and children.
Thank you for listening.
Working on some stage in L.A. Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride? The red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do. Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.